doobies. Title, of course. Doobie Brothers, listen to the music. Jason's classic cut on a Wednesday. All right, let's do this thing. Going to spend much of this hour talking about the President's State of the Union Address. I'm going to have a lot to say about it, so I'm not going to pose a specific question to you. You can jump in anytime you would like with any comments, reaction that you may have. 406-1360, 888-455-1360. And you know what? If you didn't watch it, if you're someone who's never, if you're someone who normally doesn't watch it, you know, I wouldn't be interested in your thoughts. But if you're someone who usually is a big consumer of news, current events, and you didn't watch it, I would be curious to hear why. My initial reaction is this, and I've said this several times on the air already. I understand that when you get to this point in a presidency, these things aren't expected to be big deals. Your first State of the Union address, your first State of the Union address upon re-election, like last year, those are the biggies. My first thought on this was how uninspiring it was, how uninspiring his delivery was. A liberal emailed me, I thought he gave a good speech. Well, yeah, it plays to the base. It's the perpetual wish list of all of the things that he's been asking for the last 6 years. Extend unemployment benefits, raise the minimum wage, get immigration reform done. Here's the thing, though. Here's what most struck me, and this is why I call it a rerun. It felt like his first State of the Union address. The guy has been on the job for 5 years now, and he still sounds like the guy who's failing at his job and makes it sound like he's the newbie. Well, nobody told me how to do this. I don't know how to do this. I'm just... Hey, Jason, I want to take line one first. Only because what Barry wants to talk about, I don't want to talk about yet. You got that, Jason? Yeah. Barry wants to talk about the minimum wage. And Barry, hang on, because I don't want to jump into that just yet. We're going to get there in just a second. I'm going to spend a lot of time on the minimum wage proposal before we get there. To me, this is a guy that still doesn't understand he's responsible for the things not happening. It's the victimhood thing. I'm a hostage to Congress. I mentioned this on the show earlier. I was part of a live blog at rightwisconsin.com last night, and someone else blogged, and I thought this was really good. When he had the woman up there who needs unemployment benefits extended. By the way, I don't mean to criticize her. I'm sure that everything he said about her is true. She and her husband are hardworking, love their kids, have a family. But she's the face of why you need to extend unemployment benefits. Say what you will about the welder and the others who were up on Governor Walker's stage for State of the State, but those were success stories. President Obama's speeches, particularly his State of the Union, are always about victimhood and why it's not his fault, nor it's not the fault of the victims, and I'm not saying it's her fault. But at some point, she may have to find a job that doesn't pay as well as the one she's lost. But everything was, well, I can't do this and I can't do that. You had all the levers of power in the beginning of your administration. Why didn't you get a lot of stuff done then? He doesn't realize he's been on the job for 5 years. Seriously, it sounded like his first State of the Union. Gary D. in Pulaski. Gary, how are you on the Jerry Bader Show?
Good morning, my good friend, and keep up the good work. I love you, man. Love your show.
Thank you, sir.
Here is what I caught last night early on in the speech, in that President Obama spoke down to the American public. You could see him looking over his nose, the smug smiles, and as you said, he was pointing out everything else is everybody else's fault. He couldn't get anything done. He'll go over their head if you have to. Contrast that with Ronald Reagan, who spoke with the American public.
Yes.
Obama spoke down to a condescending attitude, and Ronald Reagan spoke with heartfelt to the American people.
That's a really good point, Gary. And here's the other thing he did. He basically, in fact, when I was live blogging, someone blogged Kneel Before Azad from the Superman movie, because that's pretty much what it was like. Let's all work together. Here's how I would sum it up, Gary. Let's all work together and do what I want.
Yeah, there you go.
Gary, thanks a lot for the call. That's what I think sums up the speech. Now, there were two big moments there. One was, and this is the one that really split the congressional audience, when he said, the debate is over. Climate change is fact. No, it isn't. That's probably one of the most tyrannical sounding things he said last night. And you are seeing this where newspapers and other websites won't accept comments from people who don't accept global warming, because to them it is like denying the Holocaust. There's a chill in the air, and it's not the 20 below weather that we've received recently. How could he stand there and say that when the country over which he is president is in a deep freeze right now? From Ashland, Wisconsin to Atlanta, Georgia. That was the one that really hacked people off. Here was the other one. And we do have someone who wants to weigh in on this. I hope they can be patient, because this is going to be a few minutes. The other big one was his essential mandate to raise the minimum wage. He, of course, has raised, through executive fiat, he's raising the minimum wage on federal contract employees to $10.10 an hour, and demanded that Congress do the same. I want to read this piece from the Wall Street Journal, because this really gets into the tyrant thing. The Wages of Power, the name of the piece. The constitutional scholar in the Oval Office kicked off his State of the Union pregame on Tuesday by announcing he'll raise the minimum wage for federal contractors to $10.10 an hour from $7.25. Thus saith the king. After a year of seeing White House proposals fail in Congress, the executive order is the latest ostentatious display of President Obama's intention to end-run lawmakers and even the law. During last year's State of the Union, Mr. Obama asked Congress to raise the federal minimum wage to $9 an hour. This time, he's not asking. At a briefing on Monday, White House Press Secretary Jay Carney said the executive order will let the president use the unique powers of the office to make changes that will further economic growth and further job creation. If the president really thinks raising the min wage will do that, he's even more detached from the realities of the business world than we thought. More likely, the White House chose those words in hopes they can legally justify the executive dictate under the Federal Property and Administrative Service Act, which gives the president the power to do certain things in the name of economy and efficiency. This is the governing language on procurement, unless Congress is more specific, according to George Washington University Associate Dean for Government Procurement Law, Daniel Gordon. But the president is defining that language, so it could justify most anything. If he can use an executive order to raise the minimum wage for contractors in the name of economy and efficiency, why couldn't he also require that federal contractors get 20% of their energy from wind or solar? Where's the limiting principle? In fact, why couldn't he just raise the federal minimum wage then? The move is also a knife in the back to small businesses that work with the federal government. While large government contractors might have the means to challenge the order in court, and that's the question, is that even constitutional? Or is he bending the language there? While they might be able to challenge the order in court, they typically pay above the minimum wage and won't be affected anyway. Small businesses that really do further job creation will feel the squeeze from additional payroll and probably hire fewer workers. The higher minimum wage will go on top of the Davis-Bacon union-level wages that Mr. Obama also demands for federal construction projects, which raises their cost to taxpayers. But at least Davis-Bacon, was passed by Congress, not dictated by what this president seems to think is democracy of one, or shall we say, the one. Today's Wall Street Journal. That's got to be challenged constitutionally. Republicans have to get off their hands and challenge that. The other thing he said is give America a raise. Now he wants an increase to $10.10 an hour. And is basically demanding it. It will be interesting to see if he tries to bend that language further to say, think he can raise the minimum wage. And then you've got Rand Paul, and you've got Paul Ryan, and you've got all of those that go out there and say, yeah, well, he can't, you know, this is offensive. Fight back. Don't criticize Ron Johnson when he files a lawsuit. File more lawsuits. Stop him. Boehner said yesterday, well, we're going to be a brick wall. Really? Let's see the brick and mortar going up. Barry on the road. Barry, hi, you're on the Jerry Boehner Show. Thanks for waiting.
Jerry, good morning. Good topic. I have to be honest, I really didn't follow politics until three years ago. And I watched his address last night. The only thing I agreed with, everything was smoke and mirrors except when he talked about the veterans and our military. But the thing that gets my goat about the minimum wage, you and I come from a generation where we had to earn our keep. If you wanted something better, you went out and got it. I'm not saying anything bad about anybody who chooses to work at that big box store, who enjoys doing that, you know, flipping burgers, whatever. That's fine. But I busted my butt how many years to get to the point where I'm at now to make the wage that I've made. And I think there should have been more stress about, you know, he talks about, you know, we got to do jobs and this, that, and the other thing, but there's nothing going on. I would rather see my money go into training people to upgrade their status in society than to just throw some money out there and think that's going to fix everything.
And even when he brought that up, and he did bring up the vocational training, unlike Scott Walker, he didn't have people there who work in those trades, and he never mentioned the trades, welding, tool and die. It's like he didn't even want to mention the quote-unquote dirty jobs.
Exactly, and I'm one of these guys. I drive a truck for a living. I bring auto parts from point A to point B, and I enjoy what I'm doing. And these jobs, like you talked about a few weeks back, I remember the bit you did, all these trade jobs are so essential. But in today's society, nobody wants to go out and do anything that they either have to work for or to get their hands dirty.
And you know what else, Barry? I bet you a lot of people didn't notice when he talked about, and everybody on the left is doing this now, when he talked about immigration reform, he talked about how important it is to the economy. I think that should be offensive to people who are unemployed in America that we have to bring workers in from any country to fill these unfilled jobs.
Exactly. And the other thing that made my night is watching the Speaker of the House just back there. You can see the smirks, and he wants to shake his head. He's just so reserved. But Republicans definitely have to start to fight back. There's too many people going, well, he can't do this, we can't do that. We have to start fighting back and say, no, we're not going to allow it.
Barry, thanks. I got to cut you off there, but thanks a lot for the great call. He can do it if we don't stop him. 406-1360, 888-455-1360 is 1020.
The Jerry Boehner Show.